called to walk by faith. There'll always be some mountains, valleys in our way. But right here in this moment, may our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done and how we've seen Him move. If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, the darkness, it gets hard to see, but be bold and courageous and follow where He leads. Greater is the One who's in us than he that's in the world. So child of God, remember the battle.
If God's ever brought you through anything this morning, if He has, say amen.
Amen.
And God has brought us through. God is bringing us through, and God will bring us through anything that comes our way. And this morning I want to say that anything that comes our way has to first be filtered through the hands of God. And there is great comfort and great joy in knowing that there is nothing that can touch us except God permit it first. Well, I want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church of Powder Springs and say it's good to see each and every one of you. And some of your smiling faces, y'all get that in a minute. Some are smiling and some are not. And listen, let's take a time out on all the worry. Let's take a time out on all the fear and dread. And let's just worship this morning. Let's worship the Lord. David said that, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I understand that life is hard, and I understand there's struggles out there. But this is where we go to plug in. And this is where we go to sharpen one another. And the Bible says that iron sharpeneth iron, and so does the countenance of his friends. So let's worship the Lord this morning. And again, it says good to see you. I wonder if there's any first-time visitors with us, any first-time visitors. If this is your first time, would you raise your hand? Brother Trail, you've been here before. And either he's stretching his arm and he's in pain, or he's smiling, getting ready to raise his hand. So, but anyway, we do have some visiting with us, and I want to say it's an honor and privilege to have Brother Ken with us. Over here, Brother Don Nettles is speaking to him, and Brother Ken operates WDCY Radio, and just an honor and privilege to have him here. Had a meeting with him and some other local pastors not long ago, and seen Brother Ken this morning and said, "Brother, let me apologize to you," and because I told him that we were definitely wanting to take him on to support that ministry there, and I wanted to have him say, "I want to have you come and preach for us and present." And of course, he denied the apology because he knows how ministry is. He knows how busy ministry is. But anyway, Lord willing, we're going to try to spare a few moments at the end of service for him to just give us a brief word. And if time doesn't permit, we'll have Brother Kim back to preach for us very soon. This morning, let's remember a few prayer requests, a couple people that need prayer, and then we're going to highlight one of our missionaries that we support here at the church. Let's remember little Eli. This is Joanne Rich, Eddie Rich's grandson. He's going to have surgery on the 26th. I believe that's this week. All right. Well, I was thinking it was last Friday, and I was thinking it was this week. And you just let little Eli know he's been prayed for. And Miss Nancy Farmer, she fell. I get my days and weeks mixed up. A week ago, Miss BJ, was it? And she fell, but she's doing well. So praise the Lord for that. And but do pray for her that no complications in the healing process takes place. And let's remember Miss Shirley Townsend as she went this past week for her chemo. Lee Ellen Rich had her skin cancer surgery. She's doing well. Her and Miss Mary are over in Alabama watching their grandson get baptized this morning. And let's pray for the Palmers. Miss Sharon, his daughter, is not doing that well. Last I heard, she was still in the hospital. Situations with her chemo, and several people have cancer and fighting cancer. Let's remember them. Brother Ben Tidwell, him and Savannah's here this morning, but Brother Ben sent in a prayer request for their mother, for his mother, and Savannah's grandmother. Brother, I can't recall exactly what you said, but they're trying to stop cirrhosis of the liver from happening, and so let's pray for her during this time. Brother Joe Vandiver had outpatient eye surgery, had one of his Cadillacs done, he said. And so and so that's good. Anyway, there's numerous of prayer requests. Grab a bulletin. I encourage you to do that. We only print off about 30 every week, and normally there's about 10 that are taken every week. But we know that the bulletin is also on our webpage, and it is also by email. So whatever resource you need, grab a bulletin, stay in tune, stay in touch, and let's just worship the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. We're thankful and we're grateful for who you are, for what you do. Lord, we just lift up all these prayer requests. You know who needs what, Lord. You know who, God, this morning is struggling mentally, who's coming here, and they may not have a smile on their face, but they want to. And I pray somehow, some way, Lord, that you would allow them to leave with a smile, if not a smile on their face, a smile in their hearts, knowing that everything is in your control and you're at work in their life. Father, we're thankful for Calvary Baptist Church. We pray that we would be diligent, Lord, as a church, as a body, reaching the community, Lord, making steps, progressing along, maturing as a church corporately, Lord, bearing much fruit, because, Lord, we know that your return is soon, and we want to be found faithful corporately and individually. So I pray, Lord, that you would instill within us an urgency to be watchmen, Father, and to continue on in this life. We love you. We thank you. We praise you for what you've done. We praise you for what you're doing. We praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do. And we pray, Lord, that you'll be with us today from start to finish. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Brother Rusty.
Brother Justin has asked my lovely wife and I to do the missionary moment today. So she did the back work. I'm standing here talking to you. Our missionary for this month, we're going to do Brother Don and Sister Carla. And I'm standing back, or sitting back there thinking, they've been out of here, they've been in Peru 16 years. Of course, they were here before, they're our home missionaries. But then Krista went with them, and she was down in Peru for a while. Then she came back, went to school. Now she's married, and her husband are working at a church, and today their son is being baptized. So our mission field from here has went to Peru, back, Florida, Alabama, is still working. So just a little bit about Don and Carla. They've been on the field in Peru for 16 years. They have two churches, one in Caramarca and the other is a satellite church on the coast. And about every other weekend or third weekend, if I remember right, they'll go to that church. They currently have a Bible conference going on, and to learn why we use the version of the Bible that we use. Speaking of Bibles, they are a distributing point for all of that area through South America for distributing Bibles. At this time, they've got 25,000 Bibles that they're handing out, which will make over 100,000. About Caleb being baptized today. What you may not know is they will be coming home in late October. Don's going to have some surgery. So keep them in prayer. And our missions work strong from here. They're our only missionary that I know of out of our church. And if you go back and look of what Don and Carla have accomplished for the Lord, and we have had a part in it just because of them being from us. So keep them in your prayer.
All right, church, if you will stand. Choir, would you stand with me? Turn over to page number 393. Page 393, and let's everyone stand, sing the first and the last of When We All Get to Heaven.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place.
house of the Lord. And if you are visiting with us, you are our special guest. It is great to see Brother Ken Johns, his beautiful wife, with him this morning. Brother Ken's dear friends of ours. We've been involved in the ministry for many years at WDCY. And my father-in-law was there. Brother Ford Berry was there with him and served many years in the ministry there at the radio station. And great times together, Brother Ken, and we look forward to hopefully being able to hear a little bit from you in the ministry there at the end of the service. But it's great to have y'all with us this morning. It's great to see you here in the house of the Lord here today. Please remember just a couple of quick announcements, and I'm going to give it to Brother Randy. He has something I'd like to share with you this morning. But please be much in prayer for the choir. The choir will be meeting today at Floyd Road at 4:15. We're going to go over there. We'll be practicing with Floyd Road today, our Jubilee Choir. And we will be singing not this coming Tuesday. I may have spoken that this morning. But we could not practice with them next Sunday because it's their homecoming. So we're going to be practicing with them today, 4:30. But we'll meet there at 4:15 at Floyd Road. And then not this coming Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. I believe that's the 27th, yes. If I'm not mistaken. The 27th, we'll be singing with Floyd Road's choir. We'll join. Have a Jubilee choir. I'll be singing on Tuesday night over at Floyd Road on the 27th. Brother Craig Edwards will be preaching that night. It'll be a week-long Jubilee, I believe. But we'll be there on the Tuesday night. We'd love to have you come and join us there on Tuesday evening, the 27th. But please pray for the choir. Pray for Traveling Mercies. We'll be going practicing there and then coming back for service here tonight. So don't think the choir won't even be here. We're going to leave y'all. We'll be back. Going to go over and practice with them. We'll be back in time for service and be ready for service here tonight as well. But choir, if you'll meet me there at 4:15 this afternoon, appreciate your faithfulness. Pray for us. We're just trying to make ourselves ready for a great service on that Tuesday evening. And, of course, tonight service 6 o'clock, so please be here for that. Wednesday night, of course, Bible study and prayer meeting here at 7 o'clock. Kids downstairs, Bible study. Of course, Wednesday evening at 7, so please make that a matter of prayer as well. A lot of prayer requests. Please just, let's just lift one another in prayer. A lot of folks going through a lot of things, and we just need to lift one another up in prayer. But it's great to see you in the house of the Lord. It seems like the children's home might be traveling today, so please remember them in prayer. Brother Randy, would you have something you'd like to share with us this morning?
Well, good morning, everybody. Well, let's talk. Good morning. We're getting ready to go into our new church year, and we have our nominating committee. They're all up ready to start working on getting our classes filled and our positions filled this year. And we were talking about it last Sunday in our meeting, and we decided, I mean, of course, we've been praying and trying to find God's will and trying to find the right people to be in those places, and that's very important. But we don't know if maybe some of you are maybe looking or wanting, or maybe God's been dealing with you about becoming part of the church as far as a leader, worker, helper, assistant. I need to know that, and we need to know that. So what I need is, my guys are there here, all of them are here, I believe. I wish they would stand up so y'all could see them, because if God's just been laying on your heart or whatever to be a part of what's going on, see one of these guys. Tell them what you got. Tell them what God wants you to do, and let's see if we can find a place to plug in and make this thing go. Our pastor last year, they don't listen to me. I was on radio for 13 years. Nobody listened to me in there. Brother Ken, tell you right quick, I had one big technical difficulty one night. I was on air, went to sleep, and the tape ended. He called me. He said, "Everything all right?" And I was, "Yeah." technical difficulties. But anyway, I want to invite all of you to come to Sunday school. I know a lot of you don't come to Sunday school, but I was thinking about this the other day. We come into the 11 o'clock service to be fed, and a lot of times if all we get is Sunday morning service, we're going to starve to death, folks. Come on into Sunday school, get you a little bit of appetizer, get your appetite up, so when you come into the 11 o'clock service and our pastor stands up here to preach, hey, you already be hungry enough to hear and listen and get fed off the Word of God. Amen? Also, listen, guys, I love you to death. I love you with all my heart. But we need you in Sunday school. We'd love to have you. I sound like Charles Hardy. But we love you. We need you. We need you in Sunday school. Okay? So come on, guys. Be a part of it. Starts at 10 o'clock. I promise you. Come on in here. Listen to what God has to say. pray for our nominating committee. We'll be doing this thing hopefully within the next 2 weeks. We got to be, because New Year starts 1st September, so I got to get busy. But anyway, just want to tell that to you. Love you guys. Appreciate you. Pray for our guys as we go through this. Make sure we find the right people for a position. Our pastor preached last week on Let's Go On. So guess what, guys? We fixing to go on. So if you want to get with us, let's go. All right? Love you.
Amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house this morning. Lord, what a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord. Lord, thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit that we've already felt here today. Lord, thank you for the song, Just Say Amen. Lord, you have brought us through so much. Lord, so many times we go through trials and heartaches, and Lord, sometimes it seems like we are in the fire, but Lord, you have brought us safe thus far. Yes. Lord, we know that you have so much in store for us here at Calvary, and Lord, we just want to, Lord, give ourselves to you for your service and for your honor and for your glory, Lord, this next coming church year. Lord, for this very service this morning, Lord, we want to give ourselves to you. Lord, pray for our pastor. Lord, that you would touch him. Lord, speak through him. Lord, that we need to hear this morning. May our hearts and our minds be open to receive your word. Lord, for everyone that you've brought into this place this morning, Lord, it's not a coincidence at all that we are here. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us, Lord, today what we need to hear. May this place be filled, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Lord, draw us, Lord, to a time now of worship and praise. Lord, accept the worship and praise as the choir sings in a few moments. Lord, I pray that you would just touch us, Lord. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you and that free pardon of sin, Lord, that they've never accepted you, Lord, as their personal Savior, may this be the day and the hour that they'd realize that and come to know you, Lord, as the Lord of their life. Touch the offering now, Lord, both the gift and the giver. You know exactly what is needed. Lord, again, I pray that you touch those that are sick and unable to be here today. Again, fill this place with your Spirit. We'll be careful to praise you, and we'll be careful to thank you for it all. In Jesus' name. This morning, church, would you stand as a choir comes down? And would you take just a moment while Brother David plays something and let's fellowship? Turn around to about 10 folks and tell them it's good to see them in the house of the Lord. Give you an opportunity to fellowship this morning.
In one, going through one, coming out of one. Life is a storm, but we have one to get us through the storm and to perfect us along the way. So let me push this mic up. We have somebody short behind the pulpit. All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn for a few moments to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 8. Hebrews, chapter number 8. Last week we were in book of Hebrews, chapter number 6. And this morning, Hebrews, chapter number 8 for a few moments. I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to summarize chapter number 8, and then verse number 5 is going to be our text verse. Just after we pray. Father, we come one more time in Jesus' name, and we're thankful, Lord, that we can be strong and hold on because of who you are in us. Our prayer this morning is that you would speak your word through me to your people. Father, as a church, we're wanting to move on. We're wanting to move on corporately and then as individuals, Lord, and be better to bring you more glory. So, Father, we pray that you would do that this morning. Honor your word, bless your word, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Book of Hebrews in chapter number 8. In fact, the chapter gives us about 13 verses. Those who study the book of Hebrews knows that it's a book of betterness. Old Testament versus New Testament. And the Old Testament couldn't save us, but the New Testament can because of the work that Jesus did. And in the entirety of chapter number 8, we have the Old Testament tabernacle giving us a picture of the heavenly tabernacle or the heavenly home. Notice, if you would, in verse 1, we have a few things concerning what we have. Number 1 tells us who we have. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest. Then this verse tells us where he's at. Who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So in verse number 1, we learn that we have a high priest. And we learn where he's at. He's in the heavenlies. He's in heaven. The new tabernacle. And then verse number 2 tells us what he's doing. Who we have, where he's at, but then what he's doing. In verse 2, the Bible says, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. We have Jesus as our high priest. He is in the heavenlies. He is on the throne of the right hand of the Father. And he is ministering. The Bible says in verse 2, a minister of the sanctuary. Jesus is actively working in heaven. But also he is actively working here as well. In verse number 3, the Bible says, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. So now in chapter and verse number 3, it is showing us a picture of what's going on earth and what's going on in heaven. We have earthly, and at least the Old Testament priesthood, the Levites, offered sacrifices and gifts. Well, we have one that's in heaven right now who is ministering on our behalf with gifts and sacrifices. The ultimate sacrifice is when he gave his life on Calvary. But in verse number 5, verse number 4, the Bible says, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. That's why he's in the heavenlies and he's not on earth being a priest. It's because he fulfilled the law. And then in verse number 5, this being our text verse, notice what he says. He says, who serve unto the example a shadow of heavenly things. Now, he's talking about these earthly priests and what they did. He's talking about this earthly Old Testament tabernacle and all the offices that it consists of, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, that Old Testament earthly tabernacle. Notice this, it says, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown or showed to thee in the mount. I want to stop reading there in verse number 5. Originally, I categorized the entire chapter with this phrase, the Old Testament tabernacle, giving us a picture of the heavenly tabernacle or heavenly home, because it avoids a whole lot of learning in a little bit of time. And chapter number 8 does that exactly. It is wanting us to see two things. It's wanting us to reflect on the Old Testament and that tabernacle that Moses received instructions for, and how he put his men to work and how they made that tabernacle. And there were so many intricate parts of that tabernacle. I mean, it was the outer courts. There was the inner courts. And we'll get into some of this in just a moment in the book of Exodus, chapter number 25. But, I mean, there was curtains that was involved. There needed to be a seamstress. There was altars involved. There was anchors involved. There was all kinds of things. There was a mercy seat involved. There was all kinds of things. There was the table of showbread. There was the lampstands. All kinds of things were involved for the success of fulfilling this pattern that God showed Moses. And in chapter number 8, once again, he is showing us this Old Testament tabernacle. And ultimately, he's comparing it to the one that's in heaven. while in this Old Testament tabernacle, there were priests offering sacrifices. Well, Jesus had already offered that once and for all sacrifice himself, and now he's in the heavenlies. And one day we'll be able to be in his presence. And also there was prayers that were offered up in the Old Testament tabernacle. Well, and then there's the altar of incense and giving up the aroma, which is it was a sweet smell and savor in the nostrils of God. And I want to say that in heaven there's prayers being offered up as well. And even now Jesus is our intercessor. He is praying for us, the Bible says. But in verse number 5, I want us to zero in on one specific part. While this chapter in its entirety is giving us a contrast between the Old Testament tabernacle and heaven's tabernacle, the atmosphere of heaven, it does not do away with the local church in the pattern it should go by. Verse number 5, the Bible says again, "Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount." If God showed Moses a pattern, I want to say that there's still a pattern today. There's still a way to do things in the local church. There's still a pattern to follow. And the pattern is in the pages of God's Word. And it must be followed. It must be presented. It must be sought out to know what the pattern is. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, in verse number 15, notice this. He says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." You see, Jesus' ministry, while he's in heaven and he is at the Father's right hand and he is interceding for us, but he's doing it there. There is still work he's doing here by interceding for us. The church of the living God. And if God showed Moses a pattern then, there's a pattern now if this is the church of the living God. This morning, I want to talk to you for a few moments on God's desired tabernacle. God's desired tabernacle. We know what God desired in the Old Testament. And we read about some things that's currently happening and will happen in heaven in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation and such. But what about the here and the now? What about the local church? What about the body of believers that congregate together? What's our job? Or how are we to build God's church? What's the pattern? What do we do? Well, this morning I want to try to cover a few of these things. And I want to use Moses and some things that we can glean from his experience on top of Mount Sinai. And how that God spoke to him about this pattern. And I trust it'll be a help and a blessing to all of us. God's desired tabernacle. The first thing I believe that we can glean from the life of Moses as he received the pattern is this. Number one, there was a climb. There was a climb. There was a climb to receive this pattern. Turn to the Old Testament, if you would, for a few moments, to Exodus 24. Notice, if you would, in verse number 15. There was a climb involved. Exodus chapter number 15. I'm sorry, Exodus 24, verse 15. Notice what the Bible says. And Moses, Exodus 24, 15. "And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud." Look at verse 17. "And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. This was a climb to receive this pattern. And this wasn't nothing that was done fragilely and half-heartedly, but it took 100% devotion from the leader. And we see in verse number 16 that Moses spent an entire 6 days, and then on the seventh day it was when God began to speak. And so Moses, we see concerning this verse at least, verse number 16, that this was a climb of patience. Moses had to be patient. Now keep in mind, all the people of Israel were at the foot of the hill, and Aaron was at the foot of the hill, stilling the people. And Moses was aware of his calling, and he was aware of his leadership. This was a sobering time for Moses, I believe. And Moses knew if he was going to get instructions from God, it would cost a climb of patience. He was up there for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, God began to speak. And the Bible says in verse number 18, that last sentence, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. That's a long time. But Moses received the pattern. I want to say this morning, when it comes to the local church and it comes to Calvary Baptist Church, that there needs to be specific instructions received from God, and it starts right here. It starts behind this pulpit. Your pastor needs to be right with God. Your pastor needs to seek the Lord with all of his heart. And listen, I'm just going to confess to you. I'm as human as anybody else. And given the situation coming in at Calvary after the long tenure of Brother Snyder and the history of this church, man, I felt like we were already there. Being the newbie around here. But soon, we just celebrated a year being your pastor, 2 years being a church member, and it's evident that God wants to take us higher. And listen, most of you that, at least those of you that's been here for a long length of time, you see evident things, and maybe you haven't said them to me, but maybe in your heart or your mind, well, when is Brother Justin going to change this, or when are we going to pursue this? Well, I'm trying to catch up to what you see. But there's something involved a little more on my part. If I'm going to see what you see, and most of all, if I want to see what God wants me to see, there's going to be a climb involved. And it's a climb of patience. Listen, I want to jump behind the pulpit and ring the bells of heaven and say, let's do this and let's do that. Let's change, not necessarily change the whole program, but do new stuff. I want that. But church, we've got to be patient. And I believe that we're on the right path, and I believe we're on the right course. And listen, 10 new church members within a year's time is wonderful. I praise the Lord for that. Because in order for people to join a church, evidently they have seen something they like, and they're getting fed. But this morning, when it comes to gleaning from Moses and God's desired tabernacle, there was a climb. Now, I started with me, and now I want to give it to you. How was your climbing for Calvary, man? How was your climbing? Listen, in recent days, God has spoke to me, and listen, nothing majestic, and I ain't trying to over-spiritualize. I'm just saying instructions are there if you want them. In recent days, God has shifted my focus and showed me how important it is. I'm talking about important on top of important. It is to know that everything you're doing in that church is from God. It is so important. Because one decision affects another decision. And like Brother Snyder used to say, I say to me, but I'm sure he still says it, if you push that first domino piece, what happens to the last one? Well, listen, that surpasses even his wisdom. That's been the wisdom for all mankind. Everything we do, there's an effect to it. There was a climb. Moses was the leader, and he was on top of Mount Sinai, and there were 6 days that passed, and then on the seventh, God began to speak, and then he was in its entirety there for 40 days. So your pastor needs to be a climber, and I vow to you this morning that I'm climbing. I have no desire to be mediocre as your pastor. I have no desire to have a mediocre church. If I desired, or if I was going to be a mediocre pastor and have a mediocre church, I would just resign and leave. Because the Bible speaks of in Revelations of a lukewarm church, how it's not pleasing to God. And he worked that were either cold or hot, but that church, the Laodicean church, it was lukewarm, and God spewed them out of his mouth. So this morning we see that we want to climb. Do you want to climb with us? Do you want to climb? Do you want to wait on God? And when I say wait on God, we're not excusing making headway in this thing. We want to do things and occupy. And while we're waiting, we will serve. While we're waiting on instruction, we will serve. While there's a need that comes up in the church, we will jump in and take care of that need, whether it's in the nursery, whether it's up here in the sound room. Of course, for Brother Randy's approval, that is. That's a delicate place. But wherever there's a need, while we're waiting on instruction, we will serve the Lord. And this was a climb of patience. Notice this. This climb gave Moses a hilltop view as opposed to a foothill view. The view from the foothill, if he were not to go on top of Mount Sinai to receive what God had, just receiving, just looking and observing down in the at the foothill of the mountain. Okay, we need to do this, we need to do that. That's one thing. But Moses came up here. And he got a little higher. And he got a little higher. He centered himself up with God's will. Waited on God. He said, oh, yeah. Whew, I'm glad I didn't make that decision when I was down there. Because up here, there is definitely some things that need to be tweaked. You see, Moses had a hilltop view as opposed to a foothill view. Let me give you an illustration. I've done landscaping for right at 15 years. I don't do it now. I'm starting to believe I wore myself out from doing it 15 years. And I'm only 37, I think. It started at Floyd Road, actually, doing the landscaping there. But when you're designing a flower bed or curb appeal for your house, you jump in there and you say, man, I want bushes and I want shrubs and I want pine straw, and I want it to really jump out, and you know, and I want this, and I want that, and over here I want some rose bushes, and by the mailbox I want this, and then you're all up in it, and you're sorting, throwing the hay, and you're pine straw, and you're planting, and then something occurs to you. At least it has for me in my longevity of landscaping. I need to take a step back and make sure this thing is symmetrical. And so what I do is I step back, I say, man, that was a good idea, but buddy, the symmetrics is off. Symmetrical, you know what symmetrical is. We have a point here, we have two ends. It's lined up, it's symmetrical. Now, if the point of this pulpit was right here, the point came to here, it wouldn't be symmetrical. And the only way to see that is if you stand back. And Moses, he had a hilltop view and not a foothill view. And only this came by faithfully climbing and being patient. Things are happening, church. They may not happen, fly by overnight, and we don't want them to, because we want to be sure about every stone that is compacted in the spiritual house. We want everything to have its place. We want everybody to be functioning out of their spiritual gifts. And this is an endeavor that's going to take a lifetime. And so we see that, as far as the illustration, the flower bed. There must be symmetry. There must be color. There must be shape. And that's what Moses was doing on his hilltop view. It took a while. Patience was involved, but he stayed. And he got God's sure word. Turn to the right for a moment, if you would. Nehemiah chapter number 2. Look what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah chapter number 2 and verse number 12. And I arose in the night, I and some few with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast which was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. Nehemiah did the same thing. He patiently climbed, trying to get an entry point, trying to get a view that was symmetrical to God's dealings with Jerusalem. And it took some time. It took some patience. It took different angles of viewing. I want to say this morning that God has a desired tabernacle for the local church. And if we're going to get to that place and draw closer to that place Sunday by Sunday, Wednesday by Wednesday, during the week, then there's going to be a climb, and it's going to be a climb of patience. Number two, not only we can glean from the life of Moses when God spoke to him on Sinai that there was going to be a climb, but also we see there was content. There was content. Not only there was a climb of patience, but there was a content. God showed him a pattern. Back in Exodus 25, notice if you would, verse number 8. And let them make me a sanctuary, a sacred place, that I may dwell among them. Today, that is still God's desire for this to be a separate, a place sanctified, a sacred place for God to dwell, for God to save people, for God to encourage Christians. He says in verse number 9, according to all that I showed thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. Then in verse number 10, notice he says, and they shall make the ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits, and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubic and a half the breadth thereof, and a cubic and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold within, without shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, the 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, and that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it. Thou shalt put into the ark the testimony, the ark of the covenant, the testimony which I shall give thee. Let's stop there. That is just one piece of furniture for this tabernacle. We're talking about the ark of the testimony. And in verse number 10 through 16, as we just read, gives us that information. Notice, if you would, in verse number 17 through 22, there's the mercy seat. Verse number 23 talks about the table of showbread. Then there's in verse 31, the golden candlesticks. Chapter 26, there's the curtains of the tabernacle. Verse number 7 gets into the goat's hair curtains. Verse 14, the covering and the boards. We can go on and on. Verse number 31 of chapter 26 gives us the veil. Verse 36, the hanging for the door. Chapter 27, verse 1 gets into the tabernacle altar. Verse number 9, the court. Verse number 18, dimensions of the court. Verse number 20, olive oil for the lamp. You get into chapter number 28, and then we need a seamstress here along with the curtains. But then verse 4, there's Aaron's garments. There's the ephod. Verse number 8, there's the girdle of the ephod. Verse number 15, there's the breastplate of judgment. Verse number 30, there's a Urim and the Thummim. Verse number 31, there's a blue robe of the ephod. Verse number 36, there's a mitre. Verse number 4, there's a garment for Aaron's sons. And so we get into all of the contents of this tabernacle. There was several pieces of furniture and items that had to do with this tabernacle. And I want to say, as the local church, there is much to do around here. There is a job for everybody. As we've just seen by the construction of this tabernacle, there needed to be a seamstress. There needed to be someone who could work wood. There needed to be someone who was good with jewels, because those jewels went upon the breastplate of the high priest, and they meant something. Everyone has a job. These were several furniture items. But then there's a second thing when it comes to this content. There was to be taken in steps. Steps. When God gave this pattern, it was to be done in steps. As you notice, in verse number 10, gets right into the Ark of the Testimony. And some of these things were done, categorized as they're mentioned here. Some overlaid and went before others. But the majority and the overall idea is this. There were several pieces of furniture and items, but they had to be accomplished in steps. And as we move forward in our new church year, I want to tell you that things are going to be accomplished, but they're going to be accomplished in steps. There's going to be trial. There's going to be, let's see if this works. There's not going to be a frustration and a depression and, oh, we'll never move forward. No. We're not going to get into that rut. We're going to stay fresh and we're going to stay hot, but listen, it all depends on not just one of us, but all of us. Iron sharpeneth iron. It's going to take all of us throwing our hand to the plow and not looking back and looking at these steps. And, well, I don't know, Brother Justin, will this work? Well, let's pray about it and see. Not to be done from Sunday to Sunday, but on God's time and in His planning will it be done. Several furniture items, several steps to be taken. But then when it comes to this content, this also gives us special instructions for the New Testament church. You say, are we supposed to have an Ark of the Testimony here? Are we supposed to have a table of showbread? Are we supposed to have the candlesticks here? No. But I tell you what we are to have. When it comes to the contents of God's desired church, we're to have a qualified pastor. We're to have qualified deacons, and we do. We're to have the two ordinances of the local church take place, which is the Lord's Supper and baptism. We're to be soul winners in our community. There's to be inreach and outreach, visitations. There's to be fellowships as well. In the book of Acts, they fellowshiped and broke bread together. And listen, they were a unified church, and they were winning souls, and daily they were adding to the church. Daily they were. So we see that there was content. God showed Moses a pattern. The question is this morning, what's the pattern for Calvary? Do we just do things because that's the way they've always been done? Maybe they have been done that way because at one time they worked that way. And again, I'm not talking about changing Bible doctrine. God help. I'm not talking about changing style of worship. God help there. I am talking about loose ends we can tighten up. I'm talking about a tweak here and a tweak there. I'm talking about people finding out where they want to serve and they can serve and serve. I'm talking about there to be a liberty when the gospel's being preached or the music, we're singing, the choir is singing, and people have a liberty to come to the altar. Where is that liberty going to? There needs to be a liberty for people to come to the altar. There needs to be a liberty to preach. There needs to be a liberty to sing. And listen, for most of those things, there is liberty. But there also needs to be liberty for someone to feel free enough to stand up and say, I just want to praise the Lord. And to feel like that's welcomed here at Calvary. And I want to say that is welcomed here at Calvary Baptist Church. If God tells you to stand up and testify, you testify. God tells you to come to the altar before the altar call is given. You come. Listen, this is not Justin Hales' pastorate, job, church, Calvary. No, this is God's. This is God's. God help if it was me leading things and guiding things. Hey, listen, I found out, and God shows me regularly that I need His help. So we see that there's special instructions for the New Testament church. Within the pattern that God gives pastors of today, there was patterns given in the Old Testament. This pattern was given to Moses. It had content. There was a climb to receive this pattern. But then lastly, there was construction. There was a climb. There was content. But then there was the actual construction. And so what do you do when you receive the pattern? Well, then there comes the construction of what you see. The putting together of it. Look in verse number chapter 31 of Exodus. The construction of the blueprints, of the pattern, involved workers. Verse number 1 of chapter 31 of Exodus. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel. I had it last night. See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And look at this. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. And so we see this man here, Bezalel, he had, number one, the Spirit of God. That is always, always a prerequisite of serving in the church. You got to be saved. You've got to know God. You've got to have the Spirit of God. But then this specific person was endowed with all manner of workmanship. Look at verse 4. To devise cunning works. To work in gold and in silver and in brass. Verse number 5. And in cutting of stones to set them. And in carving of timber. To work in all manner of workmanship. Verse 6. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishmach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. And so there was this first man, Bezalel, and then there was Aholiab. And so God is showing Moses, people, again, he says, notice verse number 2, that first word, see. God gave him a pattern, but God gave him some workers. And God is wanting Moses to see who can do what. Turn, if you would, to Nehemiah chapter number 2. Nehemiah chapter number 2. Look in verse number 18. Nehemiah 2:18, then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me. It's also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Verse number 6 of chapter 4. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Look in verse number 23. So neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which follow me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. The only time they changed clothes was to wash their work clothes and get back working. I mean, you can go, it goes on and on and on. Look in verse number 15 of chapter 6. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. Because they had a mind to work, and because they were strengthened to work, the work was done, Brother Ceylon, in 52 days. 52 days. You know, sometimes in local churches, things are stretched out over the course of years. I'm not talking about big things. I'm talking about little things even. Over the course of years, things are stretched out, undone. Church splits happen. Churches, unfortunately, some close down and known as has-beens. But I believe the people we've got here at Calvary want to work. I believe you want to work. I believe you have worked. And I believe we have a mind to work. I believe that our hands are strengthened to work. I believe that God has been putting things together. And I'll say it again. Brother David, if you want to come in. We have 10 new members over the last year. Let me just say this. I keep on saying it. But we got to have something to sustain us down the road for those 10 new members and us as a church as well. We celebrate their membership. We love their friendship. But folks, if you see a need, you have a desire to help. Brother Justin, I just see this. Brother Jack, I see this. Brother Ceylon, Brother Allen, what do you think about? That's what we want. That's what we want. Don't just sit there and occupy the seat. Occupy a position. Let's do something for God and see His church grow for His honor and His glory. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love, Your word this morning. We know that You desire a certain tabernacle. Lord, help us climb. Help us understand the content, Lord. And that is that there are positions, there are things that must be done and occupied, Lord. But also, Lord, help us realize that we don't have to do it all ourselves. There's workers in the church. There's those who want to work. Some may want to be asked to work. There may be others who come and say, I want to work, whatever the situation is. Lord, make the connections. And help us, Lord, little by little, move ahead, being assured of every step we take. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you want to come pray, if you need to pray, now's the time.